media, our history, our family, our upbringing, our personal tastes, our experiences, family, friends, and the world around us. All have an effect on us, on our beliefs, and on our values. Our grandson came up, they came up just for one night last week, and James was watching a film on his tablet that I'd never heard of, called K-pop Demon Hunters. K-pop Demon Hunters. And apparently, in 24 hours, it went from being an absolutely unknown film to the number one most original animated film, the best watched animated film of all time on Netflix. It went global. And it's going to have a really strong impact on our kids. Because I bet you by Christmas, there'll be toys, there'll be all sorts of stuff associated with this film. And the hype that goes with it. I haven't seen it, but I would imagine that if my son's watching it, my grandson's watching it, then it's an okay film because my son will have vetted everything. So it should be a positive influence rather than a negative influence. So we're all influenced by something. So I know, Jono, you're not really awake yet. You haven't had your coffee yet, have you? Are you all right? Okay. Okay, because we're just about to... we've got a little drama for you. It summarises this. There's an incredible summary of the Old Testament heroes. Just read it and be astounded. There's about 20 of them. And then it says, but I haven't even mentioned, and goes on to the rest of them. There were people that Jews looked up to and aspired to be and were influenced by and still are today. And the title of chapter 11 is Faith. Nearly every verse starts with, it was by faith. So, well, what is faith? Again, chapter 11 says, to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. And it was by faith that people of ancient times won God's approval. What a record all these people have won by their faith. But they did not receive all of what God had promised, because God had decided an even better plan for us. So although the Jews looked up to all of these Bible heroes, they all messed up in some way. So David, having killed Goliath, then went and had an affair with Bathsheba and arranged for her husband to be on the front line and be killed. Samson, great strength, strong man, defeated loads of enemies. And then, well, Delilah came along. And he lost his strength. He lost his commitment to God because his hair was a sign of faithfulness to God. So once that was cut off, it was almost a sign to say that he hadn't been faithful to God again. And I could go on. Even Elijah, the big, great Elijah, was depressed and couldn't go on until God took him by a gentle brook and sent ravens to feed him until he'd recovered his strength. None of them were perfect heroes. So no matter how incredible these people with the Bible were and how much faith they had, it's only by God's grace and forgiveness that they were remembered in Hebrews. Are those people up on our board up there? Well, John Newton's still remembered, even though it's a couple of hundred years ago that he wrote the song, or whatever, 150 years ago. But to be honest, I would imagine the influencers today won't be remembered in 100 years' time. Kate, Princess of Wales, will be remembered as probably a line on a family tree. Lewis Hamilton maybe have a place in the Hall of Fame as the greatest driver. But if you look back to the ones from the beginning of the racing careers, they're just names and just photos. So their influence fades. So, excuse me. sing now, and we're going to sing a song, which is a kid's song. But I gave up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross. And he's now seated on the right hand of God on the throne. Jesus is our perfect hero. He's still remembered 2,000 years later. We still read about his life and everything that went on. And when you think that it was only 3 years from when he actually really started his ministry to when he died, and what an impact and what an influence he has been on thousands and millions of people's lives. I'm going to read you a poem. And it's one I used to use in schools just to help people think about Jesus in a slightly different way. Especially at Christmas, when we think about Jesus meek and mild and the silent baby that never cried and things like that. Get a distorted view of Jesus sometimes. So just bear with me with my little poem here. Back on. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, boring, perfect, insipid child, always ready to toe the line. This might be your view, but not mine. For Jesus wouldn't keep the rules. He wasn't afraid to face the fools or challenge them on their behaviour. They wouldn't believe he was the saviour. He would mix with all the dross and then refuse to speak, have tea with the slaves as well as the boss. He didn't care if he was offended, was one of the reasons his life was ended. In the temple, he caused a riot, then refused to speak to good old Pilate. He wouldn't rest on the Sabbath day. Better to heal, he would say. Crowds would follow wherever he went, flattening in fields and squashing the fence. The taxman was welcome, the Samaritan too, and it left the priests with nothing to do. He turned the world all upside down, caused the Jewish church to frown. Who is that man? They'd hear him scoff. If he wasn't so right, we'd tell him off. He sometimes was rude, sometimes kind, but never cruel, and he spoke his mind. If only he were here today, our world would have so much to say. Let's just pray. And then I've struggled with the talky bit that goes around. So what I've ended up doing, or ending up having on here, is nearly all Bible verses, to let the Bible speak rather than me speak. So we're in Hebrews still, Hebrews 2, verse 9 to 11. It says, we see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, so that through God's grace he would die for everyone. And we see him now crowned in glory and honour because of the death he suffered. And it was only right that God, who creates and preserves all things, should make Jesus perfect through suffering, in order to bring many children to glory. For Jesus is the one who leads them to salvation. He purifies people from their sin, and both he and those who are made pure all have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his family. Now, isn't that amazing that Jesus calls us his family? The God who shut the mouths of the lions, who parted the sea, who put Jonah in the whale and then the whale spat him out, wants us to be part of his family. One of the character at the beginning, John Newton, wrote the song Amazing Grace. And it just felt right to be singing Amazing Grace. So if you want to join in and stand up and sing Amazing Grace. Might be a slightly more modern version than what he originally wrote in 18 whatever, next person, and think they've got all the answers, rather than actually stepping back and looking up to Jesus and recognising that he has all the answers. But also it's our responsibility not to stand in the way and block people's views of God. So by what we say, what we do, words we use, how we behave, do we block people's views of Jesus? When I say words we use, I actually mean things like, well, Jesus can offer you salvation. That doesn't mean much to people nowadays. We know what it means, but to them it might not. So you might have to change your language of how you phrase things. And we do talk about, we do go get into church and we start doing church speak. And it's amazing how many times I stand here or some of the songs we sing and you think, if someone has no idea of Jesus or God, they'd look at those words and think, hey, what on earth is being talked about? So as we're talking with other people and sharing with other people, just be conscious of how you're sharing and what you're sharing. If you need to explain what it means by, you know, covered by the blood, you know, what does that actually mean? And things like that. So it's just maybe us not getting in the way of people seeing Jesus. And then Colossians 3, verse 2, which is that one that's up there, says, since you were brought back to life with Christ, focus on the things that are above, where Christ holds the honoured position, the one next to God, the Father, on the heavenly throne. Keep your mind on things above, not on worldly things. You've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ is your life. And then when he appears, you too will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death whatever is worldly in you. So, what does that mean for us? Do we measure ourselves against the Ten Commandments or the Two Commandments? Love God, love your neighbour. Do we try our best and really try hard to do our best? The one thing I know, that if I try in my own strength to do my best, it's really hard work. And nothing fits, nothing flows. That's what I've struggled this week with the service. I felt like I've just been trying to do it. Oh, I've got to get this done, get this done. But as soon as I went, okay, God, I give up. over to you. Then it becomes easier. It's Jesus that changes us, not our efforts. I'm going to change things slightly, Phil. Yeah, we're going to do a little bit of a... I know I did this at Christmas, but I still think it's a fun and interesting thing to do. So, wait till Paul's ready. I'm going to see if we can make something. We're going to make something. We're all going to get a piece of paper. Can you get a piece of paper, Paul? And see if she wants to help make it. And what we're going to do with our piece of paper is we're going to fold our piece of paper over like this. Some of you were there at Christmas when we did this and some of you weren't. So, and make a little arrow. And our arrow's pointing to God. And then we're going to fold this bit down there. Because it's a joy to come into the house of God and to be in his house. Okay, so you should have 1, 2. So 1, and then 2. Okay. You there? So 1, to the big one, that's it. And then fold that corner piece over to the other corner, right over to the corner, so it looks like a house. And then you're going to turn it round so you've got the blank bit and you're going to fold it over on itself so it's a bit more like an aeroplane. Yeah. So in the house of God, we're still pointing to God. And then you can do 1 or 2 or 3 tears. It's up to you. So you can tear it. And you've got to tear it from the top, the thickest part, otherwise you can't tear it. And just tear it straight down. No, I'm going to chuck my bit on the floor because I kind of like doing that. And then have another go. Tear a little bit more off. And as we go through life, we leave bits all over the place. We're all raggedy and we leave little bits, little hurts, little things like that. And then another one. Until you've probably got about that. Okay? And then you're going to open it up. Tear from the edge a bit down, straight down on the edge. Down a bit. Well, come on, where's your muscle? Where's your muscles gone? You're not eating enough. Right. Right. Harry's got holes in. You might have been at yours. So open it up and see what you've got. And if we've done it right, you should have a cross. Depending on how much you tear, can't get it back into the place. So depending on how much you tear off the side is how thick your cross is. So if you tear off more, your cross gets thinner. I will clear up my mess. It's all right. I will clear it up. Don't expect someone to clear it for me. So we've got a cross. Our cross is a bit raggedy, but then that's fine because our life is a bit raggedy. And if you look at our little cross up there, it's just two bits of wood, and the bits have fallen off it, and it actually looks really beautiful underneath it when the barks come off. Maybe we feel a bit torn or ragged or a bit tired this morning. I don't know about everyone else, but after yesterday I feel a bit... And we've still got lots to do today. Or a bit flimsy, a bit like our paper. But we can come to the cross and Jesus will use whatever it is that we have. Now the cross is a strange thing. It's both sadness and joy. Tears and pain and delight and thankfulness. Phil, can we play at the foot of the cross? This is just to reflect on, not necessarily. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus came to die for us. And that whatever we've done, wherever we've come from, and whatever we continue to do, that you still love us and you can still change that from the ashes and the sadness and the hardness into something beautiful. Father God, as we go through this week, just change our lives each and every day. Just help us to become more beautiful in you. Amen. I'm tossing up whether to do the extra. Yeah, go on. On Friday, I came across this on Facebook. Facebook could be good. Facebook might not be good. But before we get that out, Phil, I can't remember. I just need to get some props. It's only because I'm a very visual learner. Those of you that know me know that I need visual things to help me remember. So I'm going to tell you what they mean. Diet book. Bread, water. I didn't have everything in my cupboard that I needed to for the things on there. Vitamins, iron. I could have just got an iron, but I didn't know where it was. Didn't have anything to do with hormones, so we've got kids' plasters because kids grow up and they have all hormones. To remember the bubbles as we get to them, that bit. What we all probably need this morning, energy bar. Stew. Oh, and I've forgotten my protein. My protein should be there as well. So, Phil, could you just put the... spiritual growth and superfoods. So, we have... bread. Bread for your soul, the word of God. Faith, feed faith. It renews your mind and keeps you grounded in truth. The bubbles, worship. When you go to Spring Harvest or something like that, Look, the kids' tent, the kids' worship, they have bubbles everywhere and the joy that comes from bubbles. We have toddlers here, get the bubble machine out. The joy that comes from bubbles. Worship changes the atmosphere. It shifts our focus from us to God. Praying in the spirit, that's the protein, I haven't got the protein. It builds our spiritual strength and sharpens discernment. These aren't just any old vitamins, they're joy vitamins. Thank you. Gratitude. Gratitude strengthens resilience and keeps your heart soft. There's a bit in the Bible that says, iron sharpens iron. They don't mean that kind of iron, they mean swords. Keeps you sharpened, encouraged and accountable. And that's each other. Without each other and without a church, we can drift along on our own, but we need each other to keep ourselves sharp. Water cleans us. Repentance and confession, spiritual cleansing water, keeps your conscience clear and your intimacy with God unhindered. Phil, next one, please. I've got a diet book. Fasting. Some people do a full fast, some people do a fruit fast, some people just give up sweets for Lent or something like that. Fasting gives us the opportunity to focus on God, clears our spiritual clutter and resensitizes our heart to God. Meditating on the word is like a stew. The longer you cook it, the nicer it gets. Joshua says, transform your thinking and saturate you with God's perspective. Energy bar. Testimony sharing. Reminds you and others of God's faithfulness and stirs faith for more. And the last one. I don't know why they've got growth hormones for that, but I thought, well, trains your spirit to respond quickly to God's voice, obedience. That's all right, that's fine. She's fine. She's absolutely fine. She's enjoying it, the joy of the bubbles. So they're just little things that make maybe think about us for fueling our passion for God and keeping us sharp and faithful to God. Thank you, Phil. So as we go through the week, may we fix our eyes on Jesus. There's an old hymn that we're not going to sing, but it says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look fully in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. May that be your experience this week in all that you do. So, because we've got bubbles, because we're going to do joy, I thought there might be a few more children here, but that's fine. We can be kids. So let's finish our service by acknowledging, because of what Jesus has done for us, we can celebrate. We can be full of joy that is not dependent on anything else that we feel. So it's not going around, oh, I'm happy, happy, happy all the time. It's an inside joy, a knowledge of knowing God, that no matter what's going on around us, even in the darkest times, we still have the joy of the Lord in us. So we're going to sing, Jesus Put This Song Into Our Heart. If you want to get the flags out, if you want to dance, if you want